And I want to go into a new series today called Experiencing the Reality of God. Experiencing the Reality of God, part one, is where we're at. And guys, I've got to lay some foundation work. We always do when we start a new series. We've got to lay some foundation. But my gosh, if you can get a hold of this, here's going to be where we're going to start. Romans chapter 1, verse 16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Not ashamed of it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein. Contained in the gospel is the righteousness of God is revealed from where? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. My. We got to jump in there because this, I don't know if you know this, Paul didn't come up with this. Paul was just quoting from an Old Testament prophet. We thought Paul just came up with it all, but he's quoting from a prophet named Habakkuk. Now we got to go over there. Habakkuk, say that five times real fast. Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk says in chapter 2, verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So we got to have just a little bit of background of where this verse came from. Because we got to have some foundation to build on. We got to see how this verse sprang into prominence here. The just shall live by faith. We could say it this way, the righteous shall live by faith. Because if you go back and study this a little bit, you'll see that Habakkuk here had a tremendous problem. I don't know if you've ever read it, but I like how it starts out. It doesn't tell me, okay, this prophet is having a great day, he's good, I mean, everything is all right. It says the burden, I'm in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which the prophet did see. The burden which the prophet did see. I don't know what you see when you look around. You know, I got home last night, turned on the TV, the first thing I see, 20 dead, 26 wounded, shot to pieces in Walmart, Texas. It's all over the place. What do you see? I mean, every day I see something like this. What's going on? We can stick our head in the sand. But this has been going on for a long time, and Habakkuk was seeing the same thing. I want you, don't separate these two. Habakkuk is seeing the same things, only what he's seeing is the Babylonians are coming. The Babylonians, the most powerful nation in the world, has formed a line and they're marching upon God's city, God's people, Jerusalem. They are coming and there's nothing that can stop them. They're coming. So when Habakkuk looks out, he sees this, and he says this is the burden of the prophet Habakkuk. And look at verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say, why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. So all I see everywhere I look is what he's saying. God, what are you doing? Where are you at? All I see is trouble everywhere. Isn't that what you hear? Every preacher is preaching. Trouble everywhere. And what is there contention with the trouble. Their contention is the end is here, the end is here, the end is here. But what is he going to tell Habakkuk? The just shall live by faith. You see the difference? Everybody in the world said God ain't going to put up with it much longer. God ain't going to put up with it much longer. But what's he telling Habakkuk? The just shall live by faith. You realize when Paul wrote Romans that it was just about the end of Jerusalem. Titus was getting ready to march on the city and wipe it out and pull up every stone, everything they ever knew was going to be ripped up out of the ground. And what does Paul say? The just shall live by faith. I think this is a mighty word for you here today.
Yes.
In view of everything that's going on, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk is looking at this and saying, God, how can you allow this to go on? This is going to swallow up the people of God. It's going to swallow them up, spit them out. And you're not lifting a finger to stop it. God says, Habakkuk, you better go up on the mountain and get all by yourself. Because what I'm about to drop in your heart, your mind could never conceive. I love it. And so here Habakkuk goes, chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he was saying to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. You see, Habakkuk says, okay, I'm going up to the mountain. I'm excited. Now I'm going to see what God is going to say to me. And the Lord answered me. I love that. See, he didn't go up in vain, did he? He went up expecting to hear from the Lord. And he said, the Lord answered me. Write the vision. Make it plain. Now see, my gosh, we'll pull that verse out of context while we write the vision. Make it plain. And we got a vision for everything. What's the vision? The just shall live by faith. Now write the vision. Make it plain. I'm giving you the vision. You shall live by faith. Make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. My God, we're going to be all over that part. It will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. Habakkuk, this is something that's going to happen that you don't have any category in your logic to understand it. There's no way, Habakkuk, if I tried to explain this to you, that you could ever get it. That the righteous man is going to live by faith in who I am. Are you with me? You're with me for now. These people, the righteous man, the just, are going to live by faith. They're not going to live by what you see. They're not going to live by what their intellect can unravel. They're not going to live by what their logic can come up with and add up with. But the righteous man, the just man, will live by his faith in me. So you got two ways of coming at this here. Coming at this text. On one hand, it's the foundation of our salvation. This is how you come to know God. When I say know God, guys, I'm not talking about know about God. To know Him intimately, to be brought into this relationship, to know and experience eternal life. Now, listen, I wish God hadn't put this verse in the Bible. But I'm going to read it to you anyway. In John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life. Okay, guys, I know what eternal life is. Eternal life is me living a long, 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 long time. But Jesus himself is going to explain to me what eternal life is. Because it's in red. Knew a lady one time that went to church for 50 years. And she said, what does all those red letters in the Bible mean? Been in church 50 years. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Now this is Jesus talking. Now who is he talking about? Know thee. He's talking to God. This is his prayer back to God. This is eternal life, God, that they would know you. The only true God. The only true one. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Whom Jesus, what did he say? He is the truth. Now y'all still with me, right? Because we ain't got into the tangled up mess yet. We're going to get there. The righteous man, the man who was accepted of God, he's righteous. It means he's been accepted of God. Is accepted, is justified by what? By his faith. His faith in God and what God has done. I'm telling you what, guys, this will make you free. This will make you free if you can get a hold of this. On the other hand, we look at this. We're coming at the same thing from two different angles here. The only way you and me are going to walk through this life that Habakkuk said looks like the Babylonians are coming to destroy me, trouble all around, trouble, pressure, everything that's coming. The only way you and I are going to walk through this life is how? By faith. No other way. So how does this eternal life, knowing the Father, work out? I hope you can get to it. Because we're faced with challenges, we're faced with opportunities, pressures. Pressures of joy, pressures of sorrow, hurts, people all around. The only way eternal life works out is by faith. Faith is so important in this walk, in this life, in this walk with God. As a matter of fact, when you come into the church, you know, I hear people say you got to start serving God. In other words, God is, I don't know, you got to do something to make him happy. Even the scripture says what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This faith is so important. I mean, look what Peter says about it. Let me go over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, the trial, that means the proving of your faith. You know what that means is we got to put it on trial to see if it's up to snuff, if it's up to the pressure. That this is so important, that the trial of your faith, the bringing your faith to maturity, is more precious than gold that perishes in the fire. Or just precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. I mean, do you really believe that? That faith is more important than gold that perishes? That faith, the bringing of your faith to maturity, to bringing it to full bloom, is the most important thing that you will ever have as a human being. The most important thing that you as a Christian, a believer, will ever develop is faith. Now, if you can get a hold of this, guys, we want everything else but faith. Gifts and all of this other stuff. But everything that comes up against you is to develop your faith. I don't know if you get a hold of this, guys. And it is more precious than The just, the righteous shall live by faith. So we got to look, we got to ask these questions. All right, what is faith? Especially now when I look around in this religious side of it, when it's flooded with self-help books, self-help gurus, you know, all these stupid books about faith, how to get it, how to do it, how to work it. When we get done with this, guys, you're going to see it. And you know what? It doesn't involve any work from you. It's a free gift. How can we work the works of God? You remember the disciples? Give us something to do. Give us something to do. This is the work of God, that you what? Believe. That you believe on me, whom he has sent. That word believe, you know what the word is? Faith. I mean, when you look in the New Testament, it says believe, it's the word faith. It's the action word of faith. So all these books, self-help books, they got nothing to do with biblical faith. And if you don't know the difference, you'll get sucked into the New Age humanistic understanding of faith, which is satanic in its roots. What is that? What is that satanic? It's of the lie. You notice how many times we read the only true God. The only true God. God, you worship God in spirit and what? In truth. It comes from the same source as the satanic lie. It has got its roots right in that. People in the church look at faith as money, currency. If I got enough of it, then God has to give me what I want, right? You need more faith. The reason you didn't get healed is you didn't have enough faith. If you get enough faith, then you can buy your healing from God. And I hear people preaching every day on the radio. They say if you get more faith, you can get healed. So in other words, faith is money, and when I get enough of it, I can buy from God what I want. I can buy God off. I got more faith than you. So God's, now if I get enough faith, God has to do what I want. I'm posing it to you like that as a character, but you see what I'm talking about. Now Jesus says, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say yonder the mountain, be removed, and it's gone. But the church tells me I gotta have more faith. I gotta have it. I gotta have more. I gotta have more. I was brought up in a doctrine, in a religion that says God gives to everybody a measure of faith. You may have more faith and I got less faith. Still, it's roots in the lie. Because in other words, I got more money than you got. I can buy more off of God than you can. See? Legalistic faith. So we got to know this, right? We got to understand it. And we wonder why in our life things go the way they do. And our faith gets checked. And it sometimes seems that we don't have any because it's rooted in the lie. You see what I'm talking about here? So we got to know what real faith is. What is real faith? Why does God put so much stock in faith? You ever ask these questions? Why would he say it's impossible to please God without faith? Why would he say the just shall live by faith? Why does God put so much stock in this? Now, I would tell y'all to sit down if you were standing up. But since you're already standing or sitting, don't fall over. The reason God puts so much stock in it is because God himself lives by faith.
You guys understand it?
Now, if you don't understand what I'm telling you about, I'm not expecting you to. Just keep it. Hold on to it. But everything God is, everything God does, he does it by faith. And guess what we are? We are made in his image, after his likeness. So we were intended to, as children of God, we must function like God, which is by faith. Only when we learn to function by faith will we be a normal human being. What normal, I'm talking about what we were intended to be from God. Not normal, what we call normal. What we call normal is darkness and subculture and eating out of trash cans. That's what we call normal. We call sickness normal. I went to a funeral down there. A guy lost his daughter. And I said, death is not normal. And he sat there and said, death is normal. Death is not normal. Life is normal.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm telling you? But it's so common. It's so common that we've accepted it. We call evil good and good evil. Death is normal. So what do I mean that God lives by faith? God is the final, ultimate truth. The only true God. We just read that, didn't we? I mean, we read that God, that they may know Him, the only true God. He is ultimate, final truth. And you know the Greek word for that really means reality. They that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And Lord, have mercy. It means we got to have the right doctrine. We get, you know, all this other stuff. But it means that you worship God in the truth of reality of who He is. Reality, that's truth. And of course, it's going to go up against everything, excuse me, that our eyes see and our ears hear that tells us, no, that's not true, this is truth. That's why the just shall live by faith. You just stay with me. God is real. He is final substance. God is the truth. All that God is the truth. Now listen to this. I don't know if you ever think like this, but I got to stretch it. All that God is, He is by choice. You're made in His image. He gave you free choice, didn't He? Choose Him or not choose Him. So all that God is, He is by choice. God knows the alternative. He knew the alternative to who He is. God is love. He knows the alternative to that. He knows the alternative to love is self for self, selfishness. He knows that. And God chose not to be that. He chose eternally, once and for all, chose not to be self for myself. Because that isn't real. It has no substance. It's not truth. Real is love. God is love. So real is love. So anything that is not love is what? Unreal. And the real, the truth here is that God, who is love, has eternally chosen to be for others. To be for others than Himself. He is eternally chosen to be for you. He is eternally chosen to ever give Himself fully to you and withhold no good thing. Are you with me? I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this. Now, that just took me out of trying to earn something, didn't it? Because His set being, the truth is He is ever giving Himself to you. God is who He is by choice. He is the righteous one, though He knows unrighteousness. God is the holy one, the pure one, though He knows of the impure. Yet he is eternally chosen to be who he is. Holy, righteous, love. And out from his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, all that he plans, all he designs, all of his purposes are wise. Every one. And they are good. Do you think God hasn't made a wise choice? How could he? Do you think God could ever make an unwise decision when he is wisdom? Now we say that, but we don't believe it. But the just shall live by faith. I mean, we think sin snuck up on him. All he decides springs from who he is. Who is he? Love, goodness, righteousness, holiness, wisdom. So, if that is who he is, I'm glad y'all are sitting down again. His power can never be used to hurt you. Because he's love and he's good. So whenever I come to God, I'm coming to this reality. That's his glory, guys. This glory is the sum total of all that he is. Righteousness, holiness, all that. This is our God. He is light. He shows himself to us. You can't get lost in the dark. He's light. There's nothing. If God is light, what does that mean? In him is no darkness at all, right? We quote that scripture, but do you know it means there's nothing hidden about him? Now see, we thought he's been hiding himself and we got to go find him. No, guys, the veil is on your heart. Paul said there's no veil in Jesus Christ. He's light. There's no darkness. He says that you might know me. I'm here. Come and find me. Come and search the depths of me. See if there's any bad things in me. See if there's any vengeance in me, any meanness in me. I'm light. He says, investigate me. Know me. I'm real through and through. I mean, what's the scripture say? He that comes to God must believe that he is. I come to God, I see that he is, I see his glory, I see that he is love, he is righteousness, he is just, that he is real. And he's real without contest. And this is the absolute by which everything else is judged. So how does God manifest himself? When I say manifest himself, what I'm saying is, how does he give himself substance? The beauty and the glory and the love of who he is. How does he give it substance in time? We live in time. How does he bring that and manifest that here in time? He does it by faith. I'm telling you, if you get this, it'll change your life. God knows that he is the right. Right? He knows that he is the right. He knows that he is the reality. In him, there's no doubt. There's no darkness in him. He knows it. He knows that his love is eternally right. His goodness is right. His wisdom is perfect wisdom. He knows who he is, and his plans and his designs are all from the expression of who he is. And based on who he is, believing on who he is, he speaks. Are you getting a hold of this? Based on who he is, faith speaks. This is the very heart of the expression of faith. Did you hear what I said? This is the very heart of the expression of faith. The spoken word. And I don't know if you knew this, if you ever look at it, faith has got its own tense. You know what a tense is, a verb tense, past tense, present tense, future tense. Well, faith is a tense that doesn't fall in past, it doesn't fall in present, it doesn't fall in future. Well, what other time is there? It's never a past tense. It's never a future tense. It's not a present tense. It's a future accomplished now tense. It's future, but it's now. Faith speaks in the now of the future as it is. Your Romans 4:17, God calls those things that are not as though they were. In other words, what he's saying is he calls into being that which does not exist. He calls things that don't exist as though existing. So they're not here, but he speaks of them as being here. So God in Genesis says what? Light be. Before he spoke it, there was no light. But when he spoke it, was. Light be. Let there be light. In the Hebrew, it's light be. So he spoke that which wasn't as though it was. He said, dry land appear. And guess what happened? Dry land appeared. There was no dry land. Nobody even knew what dry land was. Not a creature in heaven knew what dry land was. But when he said dry land appear, poof, there it was. How did he do it? By faith. When God speaks his word, which is based on who he is, the Holy Spirit takes that word and fashions the word into substance. You see, you get the progression of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit here with what I'm telling you. You want to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. These three agree in one. Get the humanistic picture out of your mind. The Father is the eternal mind of the Godhead. And when he has a thought, thoughts are formed into words. And as he speaks the word comes out of the eternal mind of God who is right and holy and just and good. And the word is formed, and as the word goes forth, the Holy Spirit takes that word, broods over that word, and brings it into substance. Do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, we know that the Father created, yet the Scripture says without Jesus there was nothing made that was made. Now, you know, guys, we are made in the image of God and we function the same way. We were made to function in that very way right here on earth. When God said, let there be light and dry land appear and animals and all of these other things, then he said, let's make us a man in our image and after our likeness and let him rule this earth. Let him have an opinion over this earth. The same way we do, and we'll rule it together. So we're made to function the same way. So even as God believes who he is and speaks it so man, knowing who God is, the only true God, believes who God is, so he becomes the speaker, the speaker forth in the earth. He does that because he's in harmony with God. You get this picture? He's in harmony with God. God puts it in his mind, and the man speaks it forth by faith in who God is, and the Holy Spirit brings it into substance. Man, this is something good here. I mean, the faith in operation today is that I know God's heart. When it says that, know God's will, you got to know God's will. What that means is know what His desire is. Now, who is God? We know God is holy. We know He's righteous. We know He's pure. We know His goodness. We know He is love, and with His power can never hurt. And you know, on top of that, He puts His desire in you. Why would you think I could go to God and change His mind? Let's get a prayer chain and change God's mind. No, He put the prayer in you because God works in you both the will and do of His good pleasure. You didn't even think of it on your own. You go to God and say, God, this would be a good idea. Where do you think it come from? He put it in there and said, pray this prayer back to me. Just what does He say? What does Psalm say? Psalm 2 say, ask of me and I'll give it to you. I'll put the prayer in you, Patty, pray it back to me because I so desire to want to give it to you. Because the just shall live by faith, and faith works out by you speaking. Because God speaks. We're just tip of the iceberg here, guys. Tip of the iceberg. When I speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes that Word and breaks that Word into substance. You with me? In walks the devil. It's a little punk. He ain't about that big. He just walks in. Little old devil. Serpent's all he is. Now he's a great red dragon. He ain't about that big at the time. Right? About that big. This might blow your mind, but he's not God's opposite. God doesn't have an opposite. Religion believes in two gods fighting. You know, I got two dogs in me and they're fighting. Oh, I hope one dog wins. That's stupid religion. Ain't two dogs fighting. Ain't two gods fighting. God's making headway. He is king. He's king. Has no opposite. But here we are, guys. Now, God made all things good out of His wisdom. You just agreed with me. Everything God did was wise and was seen in its greatest, as far as you could take it. And He made the devil. Do you think he didn't know what was going to happen? Got tricked up and said, oh my gosh. The devil here is the one who has turned away. The devil is the one who turned to that alternative that God knew was there, but God eternally set to be who He is, and that is love and righteousness and good. And the devil is the one that turned to that alternative. Yes. Self for self. Selfishness. So if God is the only true God and God is truth, when the devil picked the alternative, what did he pick? The lie, which is what? Nothing. If this is the only real and the only substance that there is, then everything over here is the lie, and he's of the lie, and he has nothing. Now, if light is the manifestation of who God is, darkness is just nothing. Nothing. So the devil has turned to the land of is not. God called that dead. Right? What is dead? Dead is the... Because life is the normal function. So dead is not. Are you with me here? I'm trying to think of words to use right here. He calls it dead in sin. That's the unreality, because the reality of God is life. So anything that is not life is dead. It's unreal. You're going to see with me here. Stay with me. It's the land of empty. The only good which is good is love and action. If you don't have love, if you don't have this love, then what do you got? Nothing. No thing. So what does the devil have here? Nothing. No thing. That's the nature of emptiness. We got a word we use in the Bible. It's called vanity. Guess what vanity means? Nothing. Empty. So what can the devil do? He can only try to destroy what God has done. He can only, because he doesn't have nothing else to give you, because he has nothing. So if I got nothing, what can I give you? I can give you nothing. I can only try to destroy what you have. You with me here? He doesn't have anything to offer Adam. Nothing. He's got nothing. His kingdom is nothing. He can't say, oh, well, if you'll worship me, I'll give you this. He's got nothing. He can only try to distort the love that God has said, to make it look like it's something that it's not. Let me give you an example. The devil can't give you sickness. He can only take away your health. And then what's left? And I know you're looking at me like, wait a minute. I'm talking to Adam here. Did the devil come in there with cancer? No, he didn't have none. He could just take away his life. And then, you see what I'm talking about? He can't give you anything. He's got nothing to give. So sin is the distortion here. God is love, and the devil came in and twisted it. He called love now lust. It's twisted love. You remember we were talking about iniquity, that bent, twisted, bent, how it's bent away from God? Sin is always the perversion. He's taken something and perverted it. He's got the great kingdom of nothing. Light has reality, darkness doesn't. So the king of nothing here, the devil, comes to Adam and Eve. He's got no authority here in this garden. None. Zero authority. He has nothing. He cannot touch them. He can only touch those who have joined him in his rebellion. He can only touch those who have sinned. That's what sin is, rebellion against God. So he comes to them with no authority at all. So he comes to Adam and Eve, and I'll go over this over and over because it's so important. You'll see all of our trouble comes out of the lie. He comes to Adam and Eve, and he says, you know, I heard a rumor. There's a rumor going around. The rumor is, did this God that you worship tell y'all not to eat of this tree right here? Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm just going, I heard it secondhand, so I want to ask God, did God tell y'all not to eat of this tree? Yeah, he told us, don't even touch it. I got it. Well, you know why he said that? Because he's afraid of y'all. He knows if y'all eat this tree, y'all be like gods. Y'all know good and evil. He's afraid of y'all. I'm telling you. If y'all will come and be with me, I'll give you everything you want. I mean, we'll rule this. We don't need him. He's scared of y'all anyway. Look at him. He's already holding back from you. So what do they do? We know they eat. We know they eat. We know he's got them. So what is Satan saying? Everything Satan said was a perversion. Yeah. God had already told them they'd be his gods. In the New Testament it says, be thou perfect, even as I'm perfect. Be thee holy, even as I'm holy. You'll be gods here on the earth. So what's the devil do? He just perverts it. You'll be God independent of God. You'll be God all by yourself. You'll be a devil just like me, or you know, he didn't go at them and say, guys, you'll be a devil like me. He said, you'll be a god. You see? He didn't say, you'll be a devil. He said, you'll be a god. So man believed the lie. Do you know what that means? What did I tell you the word believe meant? It means faith. man had faith in the lie. He had faith in the lie. He had faith in the illusion the devil painted. And whatever you have faith in, you give substance to. Why? Because you still made the image of God. And whatever you believe, you give substance to. Remember me telling you? How many times do we go over that storm is coming? We're getting them in the boat. Jesus is asleep in the back. And they are giving their power to the storm. Jesus is asleep. Because he had faith in God. They had faith in the storm. The just shall live by faith. You're going to live by faith, guys, whether you know it or not. You're either going to give substance to the lie, you're going to give substance to the reality and the truth of who God is. So they do that, and they find themselves in the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of nothing. They find themselves in a place of being lost. They find themselves in a state of being called death. And in this state of being, it says, man, you're number one. You're the center of the universe. You're the king poobah here. God is over there, or God is up there, and you're here all by yourself. Religion still believes that. Their prayer is trying to get God to throw them a life preserver from over yonder somewhere. So now when God comes in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, man is scared. Why is he scared? Because he's confronted with reality. He's confronted with truth. So when man is confronted with truth, he runs and hides. He loves the darkness rather than the light. Why? I feel safe in the darkness. I feel safe in the phony. I feel safe in my mask that I can hide who I really am. When I'm in God's presence, who is light and who is love, I'm seen as I really am. And when I'm seen as I really am, I know that my substance, my faith, is all in the lie. I don't want that. Look, let me go back over here to Romans. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It means they suppressed the truth. It means they knew what they were doing. That's the heart of sin. He suppressed the reality in unrighteousness. They want to suppress the reality. What is the reality? I'm going to jump ahead and say this. Jesus is Lord. That's the reality. Nothing else is the reality. That is the reality. Jesus is Lord. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, futile, empty. Their imagination that was once there given of God to be filled with light and love and goodness of God, your imagination is now become futile and empty and full of darkness, and men can only imagine a vain thing. Their foolish heart was darkened. And then, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing, look how wise we are. Look what we've built. We've built a tower to God. I mean, we've built roads. We've built buildings. We've built universities where you can go and get a degree in how much you know about God. All stupid people. All stupid people. We can give you a degree in stupidity. Call you a doctor of idiocy. I just made that word up. Then he said, I know, because it didn't sound like a word. But it is now, because I faced it. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. I want to worship me? Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them, who changed the truth of God into the lie. They took the reality of God, turned it into a lie. Rejected reality. Believe the lie. I'm living in the unreal. So what do I do if I'm living in the unreal? I find another creature, and I bend and twist towards that other creature. And then I begin to rely on that other creature, just like we did with self-worth. Now, you need to give me meaning. You need to give me. You need to worship me. Or I'll worship you, and I'll give you meaning. And we've bent towards the creature. I mean, we live in a world today that's gimme, 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 right? I'm the God, and all of the rest of y'all was put here to please me and to serve me. See, only until I know who I am, who I discover who God is and who I am in Him, can I turn and bless the creation. Because the devil, he floods the mind of men, producing all the religions of the world and all the philosophies of the world. And every time you turn on the TV, it's all religious. And you say, well, no, there's only 5 religious channels. No, every single one of them is religious because they're bringing to you the philosophies of man. They're saying, this is how the real world is. You can watch Days of Our Lives, and this is reality. You can see the Tower of Babel everywhere. What's the Tower of Babel? Luck. You go on every show, and it's game shows, and try your luck, and worship the God of Fortuna, and get your fortune today. And you can come on, and if you answer 3 questions, we'll give you $10,000. Praise God. What are we doing? Believing the lie, believing the untruth, that my God is the God of luck. If I answer 3 questions, I'll get it right. $10,000. You with me? The devil is all the time accusing God. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's always accusing, accusing, accusing. I mean, that's the whole book of Job. Yeah, of course, God, Job loves you. Look what you've done for him. He gives you everything to take that hedge away, and he'll curse you. Because I know who you really are, God. You say you love, but when you put your feet to the fire, you ain't really love. So let me get at it. So how does God fight the devil? How does he fight the devil in all of his lies? How does he do it? By faith. God knows who he is. He knows that this life and this love that he is greater than the untruth, greater than the death. He knows it. He knows that if we could set this great UFC match up, right? I need to get these two together in a ring, have them battle it out once and for all. I've got the heavyweight champion of the universe and God Almighty, and I've got the heavyweight champion of darkness over here called evil, the devil, Satan. I need to get them in a ring. I need to let them fight it out. Once and for all, we need to square this thing. Right? God, I mean, do you think God is worried? I mean, even when man is fallen, he knows what he's going to do. When man has failed, God speaks the word of prophecy. What is the word of prophecy? It's the word of faith. God speaks a word right there and says, you know what? Even though you fail, there's a seed of this woman that's coming that is going to crush the head of him that has deceived you. Word of prophecy is the word of faith. Yeah. Just about 2 minutes, Jeff, and I'm done. 2 minutes. I'm done. So what's this whole issue right here? The whole issue is that God is going to have a human being who is going to function and live by faith, Habakkuk. That there's something that through this whole thing, well, there's going to be one person that's going to come down there and show y'all how it's done. And from babyhood on, he's going to live by faith at every level. I mean, when he's a little baby, he's going to be living by faith. When he grows up and he's 6 and 7 years old, when he's a teenager, he's going to be living by faith. must be about his father's business. He's going to be living by faith. He's tempted in every step. Now get this, the match is about to be set up, right? This great big match, because all of the kingdoms of darkness are in place. They're in full function. They're in full power. Their might is raging. Habakkuk looks and sees this mighty Babylonian army. But God wants this put on display for the world. I want you to see that evil is at its height. It's at its full strength. Every device imaginable they could come up with, they've come up with. And here comes little old Jesus, born in a stable. No money. Peasant Galilee. It looks like the fight is stacked, don't it? I mean, I've got a champion that's been training over here for 4,000 years, ready to crush God, take his place, kill God, and get him out of here. And I got a little peasant Galilean standing here. I look at that and I think, man, the world looks so strong. People look around now and think the world is so strong. They say, God, get us out of here. The world is so strong. And here is one little man standing there. One. Everybody else is gone. There is none that stood with him. One is going to stand against all principalities and powers of darkness and everything. And he's going to stand there by faith. God gives him one last commandment. You know what that was? Take that cup. Drink that cup. Right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And death, all of the illusion, all of the lie that there could ever be, and put in that cup. Put it up to his lips and said, drink ye it. Drink ye all of it. He shuddered away from that. Oh, if there's another way. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he took that cup and he became it. He became sin. He became sickness. He became death. He became everything of that the lie is. He became it. Became one with it. He that knew no sin was made to be it. Even so much so that he felt the separation from God there. Truth. And he became the unreality. And on the cross, he even became one who, he who said he came that you might have life. He who is life, he who is life now becomes death. He drinks it all down. He drinks every bit of it down. He drinks it. Remember, this is evil at its height. And he takes all darkness, and he drinks it all down. It's gone. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Nobody's ever done this before. He's doing it by faith. Nobody has ever went to prove the truth. Nobody has ever went to prove that love wins over evil. Nobody's ever went to prove that life conquers death. Nobody's ever went to prove these things. So here it is at its height. He goes into the grave. He goes into death. And guess what happens? On the third day, the angel even get there too late and roll a stone away. He ain't even there. They roll that stone away so you can see that a mighty victory has taken place. And guess what got up? Death didn't get up. Life got up. Love got up. So what does that mean? He swallowed up death. Death has no more dominion over him. Death has no more dominion over you. And guess what he said? When that Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost and they got all excited, the same Jesus no rematch. There ain't no rematch. It's over and done with. The victory's won. No rematch. Go preach this gospel. What is the gospel? Anybody that believes this shall what? Be saved. Brought out of the unreality. Brought out of the darkness. Out of the death and the unlove. And translated. You know that word translated also means kidnapped. What the kingdom of his dear son, which that reality says God has raised his son from the dead and Jesus is Lord. This is the beginning of our new series. God bless you.